פרשת אחד אמות, ואילו נשמת עדי ענבד ג'מילה. אוקיי, ברוכים הבאים רבותיי, תזכו לשנים רבות. This is the first class after Pesach. We're still on vacation mode. We have all for Pesach the week after. So you forgive me if we're a little rusty tonight. This is a subject that was discussed by a great giant, great rabbi, called Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva in Israel. He also was a Mashkiach Ruhani. He also gave the Musar of the Yeshiva. And he was a giant. Till today, in yeshivas, his speeches that he made to the boys of yeshiva, they're classics. They repeated in yeshivas year after year. His, in Yiddish, they'll call them his shmuzes. His words that he had. So tonight, all we're going to do is... we're going to repeat his words. A little here and there, a little pepper and salt. If anything, we're going to take away from his words. We're not going to add to his words. You can't add to great men like this. So we'll see what he has to say. He starts off like this, the rabbi, Kedashat Ahad Emor. The vital subject. They say he gave a certain amount of lectures, and they say he would repeat the lectures from year to year. And I think that I heard they asked him, they said, why don't you say some new stuff? He said, this is what you have to know. Meaning, if you know these 48 lectures, okay, there's no need to go involved in that. I'm giving you the main topics for life. Once you master these topics, you're lucky. So you got it. There's no need to go from any other subjects. I'm giving you the foundations, he said. So this is yesodot. This is foundations. It's a treat. Believe me, it's a treat to hear something from great men like this, great Hachamim like this. So we're in for a good class. Ruch Hashem is right. Alright, Perashat Ahad Emot, it starts off by Daber Adonai Moshe Ahad Emot Shenei B'nei Aharon B'Korbatam B'nei Adonai V'yamutu. God speaks to Moshe after the two sons of Aharon died. We gave a whole class on that, about the two sons of Aharon dying. Next Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Now this is interesting. It just says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. God spoke to Moshe. And the next Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. And God spoke to Moshe. Right away you can ask that's redundant. Hashem is talking to Moshe in the first Pasuk. Why then say, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe in the second Pasuk? What does he say? Daber el Aharon Achicha. Speak to your brother Aharon and tell him the following. That's the story. Tell him, don't come at all times to the Kodesh. I don't want you walking into the certain areas of the Mishkan at all times. Don't go always there. Why can't he go? What was the commandment? Why can't Aharon go to these certain parts of the Mishkan? So that she explains, she says, "Ki tamid ani nir'eh sham." She says, "Because I'm always there. My Shekhinah is always in that spot. Im amud anani, with my cloud. Ufi shegalui shegilui Shekhinati sham. Since the revelation of my Shekhinah is there, yizaher, be careful shelo yargil lavo." Be careful. So they're talking about the Kodashim over here. The Holy of Holies, where he only went once a year, when he only went on Yom Kippurim, with the special Ketoret, and the special Korban, the special preparation. Al yavo b'chol et el HaKodesh. I don't want you to go always into this spot over here. Ve'lo yamut. You won't die. Nadav Avihu, they were in, that's where they died. I don't want you to die. So the Or HaChaim asks the question, Why the redundancy? Why does it start off by Daber Hashem El Moshe in the first pasuk and the next pasuk Vayomer Hashem El Moshe? So they explain it. This was a commandment to Aharon. So Aharon was the Kohen Gadol. Aharon was being told, you can't always go into the Kodesh Kodashim. I don't want you always in there. But don't think that Moshe was not commanded to this also. Moshe also had this commandment. That's why the pasuk says, Vayomer Vayaber Hashem El Moshe. God spoke to Moshe, and God told Moshe to speak to Aaron. To come to say that, Moshe, you're included in this over here. These spots are off limit. Don't always go. The question is asked, why not? If you're telling me that in this spot called the Kodesh Kodashim, the Shekhinah is there, like Rashi said, the revelation of God is in there. Shibi Janin, go every day to get a bench, sit down in the Kodesh Kodashim, sit in Nehene, derive pleasure from the Shekhinah. It's like you get a commandment, right? You know God's in the shul, right? What else in the shuls? You get a commandment. Don't always go to shul. Go once a year. Why once a year? They tell me sit in the shul, go every day, three times a day, draw as much as you can draw out of the Shekhinah. What's the logic in minimizing the say of the in the Kodesh? So the rabbi gives a very, very deep concept. Vital. He says, human nature is as follows. When a human being sees something awesome, and see something striking, and I'll even say he sees a miracle, he's inspired, he gets enthusiastic, he's psyched, gets excited, unbelievable, gets great. And if he sees it again, he's also still excited, he's enthusiastic, and but after a while, if he repeats and sees the awesome thing 3, 4, 5, 6 times, already the feeling starts to diminish. It's not the same level of enthusiasm that he had the first time that he has the fifth time. To the extent where after a while it becomes common event. He doesn't even get excited at all. This is daily. That's human nature. The key word over here is called hergel. What does hergel mean? Exactly. Hergel means you get into, you're accustomed already. You get into routines, into rotes. Yeah, it's used to it already. So you can take the most awesome thing. Right? Take the guy who goes up to the Swiss Alps for the first time. And he looks at the mountains and the snow caps and the guy says, oh, this is unbelievable, makes a better cow, I said in a sheet. Wow. Now, the tour guide who took him up to the Swiss Alps, he's not even looking. He's not even shoofing. He didn't look. He's drinking his coffee. Well, the guy take a picture in the sunrise and you know, he's looking at his watch. When are we going down already? If you saw it, let's go. It's beautiful. You're right. I saw it already 100 times. So that's it. There's no effect anymore. We lost the effect. That's human nature. The most awesome things can become what? Because you got used to it. We're just coming after the holidays now. You know, the old days, holiday time was something tremendous. We're not used to it, but one day it's going to happen again. In the olden days, in the holidays, what they used to do? To all go to Beit HaMikdash. Shalosh pa'amim b'shana yirei kol zechur echad k'nei Hashem u'pecha b'makom asher yivhar b'chag ha'masot, b'chag ha'shavuot, b'chag ha'sukot. We used to go make a pilgrimage to the Beit HaMikdash. We used to go with our animals, our korbanot. We used to sacrifice. And do you know what we would see over there in the Beit HaMikdash? We would see Kohanim dressed in their megadim l'chavod u'tefaret, their priestly robes, the garments of glory, and they would be working and serving, and we'd see them, how diligently they were serving God, and we would get a chizuk, we would look at it and see the fear on their faces, and that would be like charging our battery. So when we come back to America, already we have a little spiritual sustenance that we drew from the Beit HaMikdash. Then you go into another chamber of the Beit HaMikdash, you see all the Leviim with their violins and their harps, and they're singing. We say every day, right? Hayom Yom Levi'i. B'Shabbat Bashir Shehayu HaLevi'im. They used to sing songs. Nekamot Adonai. Nekamot Tofiyah. With music. Had parties. But it was spiritual. It was religious. You go to a party and you come out religious. You see Levi'im there. And you see the Yisraelim standing by the Korban. And you saw 10 miracles if you went to the Beit HaMikdash. You saw the smoke of the Korban, of the Ketoret, let's say, go straight up. And all the winds are blowing, but the smoke goes straight up. It's a miracle. The smoke of the Ketoret was not affected by any winds. And it could rain on the Mizbeah, but the fire would never go out. And there was not a fly in the Beit HaMikdash, in the place where they slaughtered the animals, where there's blood all over the place, and dead carcasses, and the stench. Not one fly. It's a miracle. They saw 10 miracles constantly in the Beit HaMikdash. And he would go for Pesach. And after Pesach, 7 weeks later, he'd make the trip again for Shavuot. And then, 6 months later, Sukkot time. 3 times a year. Why 3 times a year? Why didn't the Torah say, go every day? Same concept. The Torah knows, if you go 3 times a year, it'll still have the newness to it. It'll still have the novelty to it. You'll get affected. It'll make a roshim on you. It'll make an effect. But if a person's going to constantly do it over and over and over and over and over, already he's dulling his sense. Already it's going to become routine to him. He's going to walk into the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah, Zaka Baruch, I know, I saw this already. Yeah, okay, we know. He'll see the Leviim. Yeah, we heard this song already. And the Kohani, okay, we know they're doing. Now, it does not mean that a person was told by, don't go every day. If a person can overcome that feeling, it's great. But we know human nature is that a regular, simple guy who's not working on himself to fight this hirgel, to fight this routine business, he'll get sucked into it right away. Therefore, they tell the regular, Shalosh Pa'amim Mashana. And those 3 times a year, we would leave the Beit HaMikdash with fuel to let us live spiritually to the next holiday. There's an interesting pasuk. Look how far the rabbis took it. There's a pasuk in Nevi'im. It says like this. Ubebo ama'aris lifnei Hashem b'mo'adim. Now again, the key word in this pasuk is ama'aris. Ama'aris is the simple people. When the simple people will come in front of God on the holidays. Habad derech sha'ar safon ishtahavot. There were gates in the Beit HaMikdash. Says the guy would walk through the northern gate in order to bow in front of God. Yitzeh derech sha'ar negev. Would leave, exit, the south gate. V'habah derech sha'ar negev. The one that would come in from the south gate. Yitzeh derech sha'ar safona. He leaves the north gate. Lo yeshuv derech sha'ar asher ba'bo ki necho yaseh. You're not allowed to leave the same gate that you entered. You came from the north, they tell you, you go out that door. You came from the south, or you go from the north. What's the concept? There's a law like this. Why? Why can't you leave the same door? Comes a giant rabbi and gives you the musar behind it. Rabbi called Gaon Ya'abetz. Ya'abetz is abbreviation, but of Yaakov Emden, Bar Sevi. Gaon Ya'abetz writes, I'm going to quote you his words. We don't want you to see the same door of the Beit HaMikdash twice during your visit. Why? Because he might already look at that door like the door to his living room already. He might get used to, oh yeah, it's my house already. Come in the kitchen, out the kitchen, through the back door, out the back door, through the front door, out the front door. It becomes normal. Nobody gets any hadush from his front door anymore. It's his house already. You get used to it. So when they went in the Beit HaMikdash, they would guide you. You can't leave the same door that you entered. Because we don't want to make it like, oh yeah, I'm used to this, let's do it already. We want to keep that novel feeling, we want to keep that new feeling, so that enemy, I'm calling it an enemy because Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, he says, the biggest enemy to humanity. What would you answer? He doesn't say, he says the biggest enemy to us growing in religion is the word Hergel, is routine, is this concept of getting used to something and then just doing it out of routine. Now, doesn't mean a guy going to shul every day. It's good routine. But if a guy is going to shul every day out of habit and he's not putting too much thought into it anymore, he's just doing it like a robot, getting up, putting on the tefillin, putting on the talid, but there's no thought, it's just because that's how he's accustomed to doing. He gets up, he prays it. So that's serving God not with your sechel, it's not serving God mentally, that's serving God just in ma'asi, just in actuality. Serving God on that level is a very low level of service to Hashem. Therefore, the rabbi says, it's incumbent upon all Jews to try to fight the number one enemy that's fighting us in growth to religion, Hergel, and try to figure out some tricks in order to get around it, in order to make religion a more new experience on daily things that we repeat over and over again. So tonight we're going to try to, besides hit the point, maybe give some ideas on how to psych ourselves up on certain concepts that have become stale to us already. And when I bring you some examples, I think you'll start understanding. And the simple example is the tefillin, you know, the way you put tefillin on the day of your bar mitzvah is not the way you put the way you folded your tefillin on the day of your bar mitzvah. Now I teach kids from bar mitzvah, they're so careful, no, it's gotta be four on this side and four on that side, oh, it fell apart, it's not straight, do it again. Who cares? If it falls apart, stick it in anyway, oh, tomorrow over here, shit. The tallit on the crease, it's gotta be perfect. Fold it again, put the strings, there's a knot, there's a tangle. Because in the beginning, it's new. So the tefillin is, and if a guy dropped his tefillin, forget it, don't worry. Come to the rabbi to be fast, don't we bet today? Okay, so you can put a dollar on the tzedakah and you forget. We became, we're buddies with the tefillin already, you don't have to know the tefillin already, we're old friends. We lost that feeling. Now, the key is, when you're 90 years old, you're still putting on that tefillin with the same Gaon Mevilna. You want to hear what a rabbi is? Giant, a malach. Gaon Mevilna was not able to sleep on Motzai Pesach, the night after Pesach. Not because he's dreaming about the bagel he's going to eat the next morning. He couldn't sleep because he didn't wear tefillin for a week. So he can't wait till the morning comes, the first tefillin after a week. It's like the waiting opening. When's the opening day? Can't wait. I can't. What time is the fit? You want to make it? We don't stand that. But the bar mitzvah boy has the same thing a little. He can't wait till the next day comes where he's going to put on on the middle after putting on tefillin for 40 years. He's got that feeling after not putting on tefillin for a week. He can't. He's nervous. But when's the earliest time I can put on tefillin? And says, so that's someone that worked on it. So religion becomes, when you're serving God like that, religion becomes a beautiful thing. It's like candy. When you're serving it out of routine, religion is meaningless. Religion becomes a burden. Somebody asked me this week. A lady asked me, they were talking about one of the laws of Pesach. So, why can't you eat this? Why can't you eat that? So she says, in simplicity, she says, because God wants to burden us, right? She says, isn't that the whole basis of religion? That God puts burdens on people and restrictions, but we just do it I said, now we see the problem over here. If your whole life, you're looking at it as a, because you're doing it, you know why you're doing it, we don't need bread, because God said, religion's a hassle, But it's one of those hassles that you gotta live with. That's, you do it because it's a shame, but it's about it. So you go through religion like that. Now, we're not on that level where we look at it as a problem. We look at it as positive, but I'll do the action, but the psych also you want me to have? The psych, I can't have the psych. It's too, that's... So if you don't have the psych to it, so then really it's like eating, holding your nose, so you don't get to taste. You don't get to taste of the food. So, I mean, you're full. You're right, you're full, but you lost the whole, you lost the whole time. You lost the whole flavor of the thing. If you tasted it, you might want to eat a little more. You might want to do a little extra. But if everything's bland to you, you eat the minimum amount till you get full. Already, I don't want any. So let's try to build up this point over here. Let's see what we're going to say. And with this already, you can understand the question we started off. He can't always go into the Kodesh Kodashim. Because Borei Olam is telling them, this is a very holy place, and I don't want you to get used to this area over here. These are people, not on the Ares, who he's telling them, don't walk out of the same door in the Beit HaMikdash. He's talking to Moshe and Aharon. You see that even great people, religious giants, this enemy attacks them also. Not only the simple man that, we're trying to give him ways to fight him. Even the great men like Moshe and Aaron, God says, Al yavo b'chol ayat, you can't always go into the Kodesh Kodeshim. We don't want you to get, used to it. David HaMelech comes in Tehillim. We say this pasuk a lot. We sing songs about it. And the pasuk really doesn't make too much sense at first glance. Pasuk says, Ahad sha'alti me'et Hashem, ota avakesh. That means, I have one request from you, God, and I will ask this request constantly. It's my one request. What's that mean? One request from God. Shifti be'et Hashem kol yemehayai. I want to sit in the house of God all my life. I want to sit in the Beit HaMidrash. God, please, give me peace of mind. Give me tranquility. Give me the zechut to sit in the Midrash all my life. Lahazot menoam Hashem, in order to enjoy the pleasantness of God, to sit with you, Borei Olam, to study, to read, to get closer to you. I want to sit, shifti, I want to sit in the Midrash. Ulbaker behechalo. I don't want to visit the Midrash. Comes over the rabbis to me. David, you just said a second ago, shifti, I want to sit in the Midrash full time. Then you come at the end of the pasuk and say, Ulbaker, I want to visit the Midrash. And do you want to sit or do you want to visit? It's two different things. Visit means you walk in once in a while, periodically. Sitting means you're sitting. Ela David HaMelech was praying. He was smart. He knows what happens when you're going to sit in the Beit Midrash and you're learning and you're reading and you're... What happens to the feeling after a while? The first day you went to the Midrash, oh, look at what I was great. Oh, I loved the class. Second time, the first class was better. This was okay. The third class already, he's sleeping. Fourth class, he doesn't even come. He's got used to it already. David HaMelech says, I want to sit in the Midrash full time, but I want it to feel like Ulbekir. I want it to feel like I'm visiting. I want to sit in religion all my life and feel like every day that this is the first time I ever did the religion. I want to live in religion, but I want to feel like I'm only visiting religion. Shifti bebet Hashem kol yemei lahazot mubakir behechalo. Is that unbelievable? That's a beautiful image. You see here also that great men knew the enemy. And so you don't feel so bad now, at least. I have this problem all the time. I just do things I have. I pray, I don't even think what I'm saying, I read, I don't think what I'm reading, I just do it out of, heck, a routine. I do mitzvot all day long like that. Chazak, you are normal. I'm also like that. We're all in the same boat. And David HaMelech also was like that. But the difference was, David HaMelech recognized the enemy, and he went against the enemy. He waged war. His war, he prayed to God, don't let this happen. So this is not a thing that just happens to simple bourgeoisie like us. This happens to the best of them. Now let me take it a step further. Here's the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. You know, it's the custom these times now to learn Pirkei Avot in between Pesach and Shavuot. There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avot that says like this. Your house should be a meeting place for rabbis. You always have rabbis in your house. Whenever the rabbis want to meet, they should always be comfortable. Oh, I'm going to go to this guy's house. Whenever the rabbis want to sit and discuss matters, committee meetings, yeshiva, parlor meetings, you always have the rabbis in your house. Let it be a meeting place for rabbis. Always good to have rabbis. You should go run after the dust of the rabbis, which means always stay so close to the rabbis, you could even see the dust that their shoes pull up from the ground. You're close to them. You're close to Hachamim, so the fragrance of the Hachamim goes on you, you smell good also. The mitzvot, you learn from their ways, get close to rabbis. The last words of the Mishnah say, V'heveh shoteh basamah divrem. Drink with thirst their words. So the rabbis explain, what's the connection between all these statements in the Mishnah? Have rabbis in your house, follow them all the time, and drink their words with thirst. So explain like this. If you're going to be a guy who has rabbis in your house all the time, and you're following them to every class that they go, so you heard every story 10 times, and you know every Hindush that they have, and you know all their lines, and all their Heskafa, and all their thinking, there's a big danger. Because a student like that, that served his rabbi for so many years, will sit. And when the rabbi repeats something that he heard already in the back of his mind, he'll say, I heard it already. Repeat. Okay, we'll sit back. I remember I had a rabbi in high school. And he used to give us this class like this every Friday afternoon. So in 9th grade, he gave us a class. In 11th grade, he gave a class, and it was a repeat. So I never forget, I went to him after the class, Haka, repeat. And but after I started reading, there's no such thing as repeat. Because when I heard it in 9th grade, my neshama was over here, so it hit it at this angle. When I was 11th grade, my neshama was over here, so it hit it at that angle. Every time you hear something, you're hitting it, you're a different guy. You're hitting it from a different level, different angle, it goes in a different way, you don't know what... There's a pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Masir ozno mishemoa Torah gan tefilato Torah. One that removes his ear from hearing Torah, God despises his prayer. Now what type of guy are we dealing with? Why would a guy take his ear away from Torah? Unless we're talking about a guy who heard it already. Rabbi gets up to say two halachot, the guy says, I heard it already. So he walks out. So just because he closes his ear from Torah that he heard, why does God despise his prayer? Because God says, I heard that prayer already. You pray the same Amidah Shadid, Minha, Arbi, 3 times a day. Repeat, I can say that every time you pray. Repeat, you're in the same thing. Unbelievable. You can't do that. Now, if a guy gets so close to rabbis, that starts getting that feeling, alright, I know it already. Then already he starts to belittle Torah. After a while he starts belittling the rabbi. And slowly, slowly, the whole religion becomes watered down. Therefore, the Mishnah is warning you. Get close to rabbi. Have them in your house. Vet vaad. Hevim et abek. Follow them to their dust. However, if it's shoteh basamat evidem, drink with thirst their words. Don't get cooled off. Don't get into the routine of saying, hey, I'm with the rabbi. I know it. Make it like the first time you heard the Haidush. Like the second time, like the 10th time. After that, we used to sit with the Hachamim, we used to repeat things. You sit there with the same, eh, huh? Like we don't know the punchline yet. Because you really don't know the Pachon. Like I said, it hits it in a different thing. So you have to have that feeling. The Virtura. Same concept. And by the way, if we're talking about this already, this is not only a subject in religion. This subject we're talking about tonight, getting used to things, is a subject in life in general. You can have a guy that is married. His wife, Eshet Chayil, follows his every wish. She's kept well. She's nice lady. She brings up the children beautifully. Great lady. But if a person is living with her for many years, so the Gemara says, Ho'il v'ragilva katzpa. Since he got used to her, he already despises her. She could be a diamond. She could be a gem. It happens with diamonds also. Right? Your wife, you buy her a piece of jewelry, and when the day you, wow, unbelievable, it's great, thank you. She puts it on after a couple of weeks. Why aren't you wearing it? Okay, you know. Thank you, it was nice. I'll wear it. What happened? You were psyched, you were asking for it. You get used to it. You get used to it. Okay. Lose it. Now this can, with the diamond, okay, but with the wife already you're running into it. So the guy, since he gets used to something, he doesn't work on trying to rehash it and make it interesting always and realizing what he has and not getting sucked into that routine. If he doesn't get involved in that, so then already he starts problems with his wife and he's always looking at the other side of the fence. There's a saying. What's the saying?
Grass is green
on the other side of the fence. Exactly. So he's always looking at the other guy. Well, he has got it much better than me. Even though he's got such a perfect situation. But since he's used to the situation, he loses his vision, he loses his scope in appreciating what he has. Therefore, it's very incumbent upon people to reassess their situation constantly and put it in there, I'm a good situation, this is a great thing, and psych themselves up. We'll see how in a second. There's a Gemara Nedarim, it's an interesting story, Gemara says. Gemara tells a story about a guy that was in the room with a lady. He was a potential adulterer. And the husband walked in. And the guy hid behind the door. He hid behind the door. And the husband comes home. He doesn't see the guy. He's sitting, he's drinking something. So there was poison in the husband's cup. Something happened to poison him. So he was about to drink it. And you had a guy behind the door. Ah, don't drink! Where were you? The boogeyman, where'd you come from? So now, what are you doing here with my wife? So now they don't know. Did he do something with his wife? Or didn't he? Because if he did, then the husband's asur to the wife. There's no witnesses. They went to Beit Din. They go to Beit Din. So now they want to know. So one rabbi says, he probably didn't do anything. He says, why? Because otherwise, he wouldn't have saved the husband. But if he already did something with the wife, he'd probably want to marry her. So why would he want to save the husband? He'd probably let him die so he could take the lady. So the fact that he saved the husband is a sign to us that he doesn't want that. That he didn't do anything, so it's okay. Came Rava and says, no, I'll tell you the opposite. From the fact that he saved the husband, that's a proof to us that he did do something. Why? Because we have a rule. Mayim genuvim yimtaku. What does that mean? Stolen waters are sweet. Hmm. Well, people would like to have something that's forbidden. Guy would rather take something that he's not allowed. If it's his wife, then he gets married, then he gets married. It's my wife, okay. I know my wife, I'm used to my wife. But if she's not my wife, she's not mine, she's his wife, so keep him alive because it's more pleasurable that way. You hear this logic? Mayim genuvim yimtaku. You all understand this. Sweet, it's a pasuk. These are Hachamim, they're like, right, they give you the point.
True.
So what do you see from here? A guy can be married to a great lady and everything, but he's looking at something else because he doesn't appreciate what he has over here. He can have a gem and he's looking at the other side of the fence. And once he gets to the other side of the fence, he gets used to that. He looks back at the other side. Oh, look what I had. He's a yo-yo, the guy. All because why? What is the key over here? What is the point? He got used to it. So we got to definitely try to work on this subject of not getting used to situations, because, you know, it's not going to affect religion. It can affect, you know, it's very far reaching. There was a lady that came to Rav Yossi and came to Rav Yossi and she asked him a legitimate question. She says, Madua nivra'a ha'isha b'gineva? Why did God have to create Hava through stealing? Puts Adam to sleep, steals a rib, the whole story. Why is it like that? Why couldn't Adam be up? Hashem, just take the rib. And so Rav Yosef answers, because if Adam would have seen where Hava came from, and the blood, and the whole creation of it, he would have got turned off from the whole thing, and it wouldn't have went. So he had to put him to sleep in order that he should see a fresh from the beginning. So she turns to the rabbi and says, 100% right. She says, well, what do you mean? She says, I was supposed to marry my uncle. So I was a very eligible girl, and my uncle was a very hush person, and it was known, when I get older, I'm going to marry my uncle, my mother's brother. But since he lived in the house with us for so many years, he got used to me, and he got used to my ways. I know for years already, Kish, I don't want to marry. I want to marry somebody else. So the guy, even though he knew he had a good girl on the line, since he got used to her, he gave her up for someone else. So when you get used to something, you see there's a danger. The Jewish people ate man. Right? Isn't that a great concept? And we'll see lechem in Hashemayim. The bread comes down. They want to eat steak. They think in their mind steak. They eat it. They want pizza. They think pizza. Whatever you tasted, almost everything that you tasted, if the man came through, will the Jewish people react about the man? We can't eat this bread anymore. Got used to it. Can't eat it anymore. Once it was taken away from them, it says, all right, they ate wheat. Because there was no more man. Which means there you see already, only reason why they ate the wheat because there was no more man. If there was man, they would eat the man before the wheat. Because they appreciate only if it was taken away from them what they had with the man. Again, they got used to a massive situation and therefore they despised the situation. Pasuk in Mishlei says, don't go to your friend's house every single day. If you're invited to, don't always say yes to the invitation. Don't always go to the guy's house. You know why? Even though he's your best friend. Of course, the guy's going to get full of you, and he's going to get tired of you, and he's going to get fed up from you, and he's going to hate you. Here you're talking about best of friends. Shlomo is telling you, leave breathing room from, you know, don't always be with the guy. Don't always stay with the guy. Don't always be, because eventually he's going to be, and you get tired of the guy. And he's going to come to hate you. Best of friends. So now let's go give a solution to this problem over here. So what are we going to do about it? Okay. You made a point, right? If how we talked about this now, you understand the point. What's the solution, fellas? How do we work on this concept over here of making religion a new experience daily? I'm going to give you the key. There is a study in our religion called Musar. And it's a massive study. Whole section in our library over here. Two or three columns over here filled with books dedicated on this subject called Musar. Musar is like Duraflame logs. You have a fireplace? Duraflame logs. You know what it is? You put it in one match, boom. You guys working for 4 hours on the thing. You take your Duraflame with it, and you light it up, you have a beautiful, clear fire. The Duraflame for the Neshama, because the Neshama needs fuel. So you need wood for the Neshama. The wood for the Neshama is Musar. Now, every Neshama is like a pilot of your oven. There is a little flame over there. You turn on the gas, you have a big fire. The key is turning on the gas. How do you turn on the gas for the Neshama? Musar. That is a big key I'm giving you over here. Shalom HaMelech, the wise of all men, says in Mishneh, Ha'azek ve'musar, hold on to Musar. Learn Musar, that's the trick. Take a book. Pirkei Avot. Go through it, read it, Musar. Musar is ethics.
Discipline.
Discipline. Guidance. All the same. It gives you
direction.
Yirat Shamayim. It puts fear of God into you. It gives you a push. It lets you know what you're doing by doing mitzvot. It lets you know how happy you're making God. It lets you know exactly that your actions that you're doing are not just going in vain. You're doing tremendous things. For every word of Torah you're saying, you're creating for the 118,000 angels. Hey, well, wow, that's what I'm doing, wow. You be gentle and learn more. And God takes the word and kisses it and puts crowns on it. Wow, I know that. Well, they tell me that, okay? You gotta read Musar. And you read about the reward you're gonna get, and you read about the honest, God forbid, that you're gonna get if you don't do it. You need that psych. Just like the guy in the work, in the office. He gets stale a little, so the boss comes, hey, come on, pick up, let's go, you're getting into a rut. But Musar is the firewood of the Neshama. That is why in Halakha, in our Halakha, it is written, one has an obligation to read Musar every single day. From a halachic standpoint. You know, there's a famous story from Yisrael Salanta. A guy came to him. He says, Rabbi, I only have an hour a week to learn. Should I learn Gemara? Should I learn Gemara? Or should I learn Musar? He's expecting the rabbi to say, okay, 1 hour, so Gemara. The rabbi says, learn Musar. And you'll realize that you have more than 1 hour a week to learn. Musa's the key. Musa opens up the whole religion for you. Without Musa, you're living, you think you're there, but you're nowhere. The stories, this is like Musa. But this is on a public forum. The key to Musar is you get your sefer, you close your door, you open it up, you read it to yourself, and you slowly, each word, you understand it, and you let it sink in. Every day, after you finish, you make a little siman, next day you continue where you left off. The same book, cover to cover, in yeshivot. You know, there's a special seder called Musar Seder, which is besides the general learning, the 4 hours in the morning of Gemara, and the 4 hours in the afternoon Gemara, and the 3 hours at night Gemara, there is a time in between that they have special called Musar time. They didn't like it every day. 7:15, close the books, everyone takes their Musar out, and oh, some guys are crying, and some guys are... In Porat Yosef, they had the better system. For that Yosef, when did they used to learn Musar? Not at the end of the day. Before they would learn. They start learning at 9, 8:30 Musar. Oh, after a half hour of Musar, that learning at 9 o'clock, powerful. So that's number one. In order to psych yourself up for religion, get involved in Musar. You want some Sefarim? Okay. Pirkei Avot, Mesirat Yesharim. And Mesirat Yesharim, Path of the Just, is it? This is classical Musar. Mesirat Yesharim, if you read that book, he guarantees you, read my book, follow it, by the end of the book, be able to make the Hayat HaMetim. Go to the cemetery, tell it, get up. I read the book, but I don't know. I must have missed a chapter. It's something phenomenal. That's real Musar. There you read it and you close the book. Yeah, you can't smile for half hour. Like, yeah, you gotta digest this. It focuses. Amen.
Even introduction.
Amen. Introduction. That's right. Most classical introduction of any Musar.
It's compared to just in English.
Rav Yosef Karo, Zecher Sadira, the author of Shulchan Aruch, used to have a Magid, had a rabbi, had an angel. They used to come with him every night and learn with him. Understand that? The angel would come, Havruta. And he wrote these things that the angel taught him. There's a sefer called Magid Mesharim. He wrote what the angel told him. The angel told Maran, make sure you learn Musar every single day. And he suggested a sefer called Chavot HaLevavot, written by the Benu Bachya, Duties of the Heart, that's right. That's the Malach is telling Maran, Musar, Chavot HaLevavot, good book. So, I'm talking to myself also, we should get involved, and this is a personal thing, go to the Sefarim store, get a sefer, tell them where's your Musar section. I have all these books in English now. If you want, get a one-on-one, a guy to learn with you also that might add to it. But it's good to do Musar alone and read it out loud so you hear the words. You'll start tasting the sweetness of religion. That's my first advice. Second advice, and this is what we're going to do a little right now, you have to know religion. Mishnah says, Ve'lo ama'ares hasid. An ama'ares can never become a hasid. Even though he might think he's a hasid. But he cannot be a hasid because he does not know what's expected of him. So, you have the ama'ares who thinks, oh, I'm there. What else? Well, I'm doing everything. But he doesn't even know that he didn't start because he doesn't know what he has to do. Like the ama'aris that looked across the street one Shabbat and saw smoke coming out of the rabbi's chimney. And he says, what? The rabbi doesn't know you're not allowed to make fire on Shabbat. And he went out, he took his umbrella, it was raining, and he opened his umbrella, and he walked across the street. And on the way, he made a double knot in his shoe, and he pulled some grass out of the ground, he rang the rabbi's doorbell. And he closed his umbrella, and he squeezed the rain out of it. So he tells the rabbi, what are you doing here? I just came to tell you, you know, rabbi, you're not allowed to make a fire on Shabbat. He says, my daughter is giving birth. She's in sakana, pikuah nefesh. You're coming to tell me something that I did a mitzvah, and you made 18 sins by walking across the street. You opened the umbrella, you closed the umbrella, you made a double knot, you carried from your shoot to the beam, you squeezed the water out, you rang the doorbell.
Double knot's not
a lot. Not Shabbat. Okay, we'll get to that.
We'll get
to that. Rav Ma'an is Hasid.
Figure that one out.
Rav Ma'an is Hasid.
I like to uncover.
So, unless you know, now, the thing is like this. Certain things, like let's say Berachot. We know Berachot. You have to learn that. That already. Now, if you want to take a classic example of something that we do in routine, most classic example is Berachot. We all make Berachot, but how many times did you ask yourself, did I make Beracha or did I make Beracha? Did I berach or not berach? I say it and I say it. How many times do we make a beracha in less than 1.4 seconds? I'm talking about Ala Mechia. And you know, the beracha with the sleeve, this move over here. But it's not even stagnant, it's moving. Because you don't want to show anybody that you're making a beracha. You might get embarrassed. So you make like a movement like this, or you stick your head against the wall or something.
With me doing
better than not having
sorry, Mark. Is it better than not making a beracha at all?
Showing something. You know there's something there that you don't do
anything to do. I mean, expect. This class over here is not for guys that are looking to get by. If you come to this Wednesday, you're looking to know what you have to do. You also can live on $16 a week. But, you know, okay. You need $100,000? You don't need it. But it's nice. So our attitude is, you do things the right way. We're not looking to get by. We're looking to be the guy. Now, the only way you're going to change your attitude towards Berachot, because Berachot are a massive thing, is you have to open up Shulchan Aruch, and you have to learn the laws of Berachot. And spend 5 minutes, that's all we're going to do when the class is over. Spend 5 minutes on a quick refresher on Berachot, then you say, Dachilak, oh, okay, let's get psyched again, let's refresh. And do it with Kiryat Shema. And do it, Tefillah. Go through the laws. Once you learn the laws of something, and you know the laws, then already it becomes refreshed, and you get psyched, and you do it the right way. But as long as you didn't review the laws, it's not going to help. So therefore, my two advice is tonight, learn Musar, and then take different subjects that you find yourself waxing, and learn. Go through the subject. We each have one halakha in Shulchan Aruch. Siman Hei, the fifth siman in Shulchan Aruch. Yechaven beberachot. Oh, that's a hiddush. You have to have kavanah when you're making berachot. Until now we thought, you have to say berachot. We were writing Shulchan Aruch, we would say, Yomar beracha. You don't say that. Yechaven. You have to have kavanah. Kavanah, you have to think of something. Hey, what do you think when you say the berachot? I'm hungry, I want to eat this. I want to eat the sambusak. He doesn't say that. Yechaven beberachot pirush hamilot. Simple. No Kabbalah, no nothing. Simple. The words, what they mean. Kishiyazkir Hashem, when you say God's name, Ado, the name of God, that name is supposed to be said in fear, in trepidation, sweating. It's the name of God. One of the Ten Commandments is, do not say God's name in vain. What is do not say God's name in vain? When you say it, don't just say it. Think what you are saying. Have kavanah. What are you supposed to think of every time you say the word Ado? What do you think? He says, Kishiyazkir Hashem, when you mention God's name, Yechaven Perush Kriyato Be'Adanut. Adon. What does Adon mean? Adon. He is the master. Simple meaning. Adon. Now you think of Hashem is Adon Akol. You are the master. Now right away, this is going to slow your beracha down by 3-4 seconds. You might miss the plane. It's going to slow you down by 4 seconds here. Because every time you're going to say Baruch Ata Adon, you have to start doing Adon HaKol. That doesn't end it. Shu Adon HaKol. V'yichaven v'chtivaton. You have to think how it's written. How do you write God's name? Yod, and then a He, and then a Vav, and then a He. What does that stand for? Haya, Hove, Yehye. God is, He was, He is, and He will be. You have to think of that also. Shehaya, Behove, Yehye. It's obligatory. You have to do it. I was in Shulchan Aruch. He's telling you have to do it. He's telling you that's basic Kabbalah. We're not talking about Kabbalah or deep things. We're giving you the minimum of the minimum. Adon HaKol Haya Oveh Yehyeh. Every time you say God's name. And when you say Elohim, Elokeinu, Yechaven, what are you supposed to think of? Shehu Takif, God is Almighty. Ba'ala yechole to do anything. Ba'ala kohot kolam has all the strength and all the power. God is the ultimate almighty. That's when you say Elohim. Now every time you say a beracha, you come across those words. Adon and Elohim. You have to think of those things every time you say those names. That's basic beracha. That's not even extra credit. That, yeah, you're pissed if you said that. Yeah. So you did a beracha. Now, we'll do that and say, hey, look what I did. I have. That's the ABC. That's,
well, what if you don't?
Uh-huh. What if you don't, he answers. So let's read the Kafa Hayim. Let's see if it gives you that side. She'im lo ken, look what he compares it to. They don't mince words, these rabbis. He says, because if you don't have these things in mind, Haveh ha'adam, this human being is like ke'ofa mitzafsef, like a bird that is chirping. Chirp, 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 chirp. She'enu mevin lashem mitzafsef. You're chirping, you're a bird. What are you doing? You're doing nothing. Now, if you were doing nothing, it would be not so bad, but they're already going to call it a potential beracha lebatala. You know, you're going to have guys that go up to after 120 and they're going to say, you never made a beracha in your life. What? My life will make beracha. You don't even know what a beracha is. Did you ever learn how to make a beracha? Did you know you have to have kavanah Hashem? Oh, you're out. You never prayed. You never did nothing. That's Mossad. See that? I just gave you Mossad.
Words.
Then you'll have another guy that has kavanah, but I want you to think how you say a berachot. You know how we say a berachot? The average guy in the street says a beracha, he writes it. The average beracha is said like this. If you say it slow, you're probably saying the following words. Bachata donai elenu melech haolam. Bachata. Think to yourself. Baruchata. So you say chata. It's chata. Chata? It's atta. What's chata? Baruch chata. Okay, so you created a new word. There's no such word, baruch chata. Now, Elokeinu usually say first, baruch chata, Elokeinu mecha olam, melech haolam, cha olam, cha olam. What's cha olam? Ha olam. So you're really making a little, mix up with the words, playing scramble with the words. So you have to say, oh, Baruch Ata Ado Elo Melech Ha'olam, and test yourself out. See how many times you botched up the words when you said the beracha. Comes Kafa'im and writes, I'll finish with this, just so you know, beracha, you did this all the time. I'll tell you a new thing. We get to some, we don't know, we know this one, but you don't know. He says over here, watch this. He brings down a ma'aseh. The ma'aseh goes as follows. Gadol Echad Shama Bebet Din Shel Mala. One great rabbi heard in the Bet Din Shel Mala. Kol Na'ash Gadol. He heard a voice. And the heavenly court said, Hanu Makom LaSadiq Echad Sheniftah. Make room. A Sadiq just passed away. Make room. Make room. He was looking. Who died? V'kiblu b'chavod gadol. They received him with great honors, the Sadiq that passed away. V'natnu lo sefer Torah v'zro'o. They put a sefer Torah in his hand. In Beti. He's holding a sefer. V'sha'aluhu. They asked him, Kiyamta ma shekatav bazeh? Did you keep what is written in this sefer Torah that you're holding? V'aman hen. He said, yes. Kiyamta mitzvah rishona shehi pirvu piru urvu lo lehana'atcha ila l'shem shamayim. When you did Piru Urvu, did you do it L'shem Shamayim? Amar Hed, great Sadiq. Yes. Amru mi me'id becha. You have witnesses that you did it L'shem Shamayim? Ba'u mal'achim shenivre'u menam mitzvot. Angels that were created, that was there at the time he did the mitzvah, came and testified. ועידו בו. אחר כך, הביאו דלת תורים לבורם שולחן ערוך, לפרנזנס, סרף שולחן ערוך, ושאלו על האפטר, קיימת תורה שבעפה, did you keep the oral Torah, did you keep שולחן ערוך, did you keep all these laws? ואמר הן, just, same question, מי מעיד? Who's the witness? באו המלאכים, the same angels that we created. אחרי זה, שאלו, they asked one last question. נזהרת מלהוציא שם שמיים לבטלה? Were you careful when you said ברכות and you say God's name with כוונה? וידו. He kept quiet. חזרו ושאלו, they asked him again, when you made your ברכות and you have כוונה when you said God's name. השתיק ולא אמר לב ולא מידו. He didn't say anything, he kept quiet. והכריזו, אחר עדות, ובאו גדודים מלאכים ובושים שעורים. They said, bring witnesses. We have witnesses what this man did. Black angels came, hundreds. והעידו, when they testified, they said, זה אומר, נבראתי ביום פלוני, I was created on such and such day, כשהוציא הזכרות, כך וכך בתפילה ולא כוונה. When he said this name and that name, in the prayer without כוונה, וזה אומר כך, וזה אומר כך, each one said on Tuesday, this one, Wednesday, Thursday, this day, that day, he said, this name without coming, this name. ויקריעו סמלותם, they started ripping their clothes. כל הביתי, the whole ביתי ripped their clothes from the side. וגם אני קראתי, the rabbi who saw it, I also ripped. ואמרו, and they told us, you're dealing with, what now, Sadiq. טיפה סנוחה, you low, טיפה, you drop. You scum of the earth. You low person. Ech lo yareta. How are you not scared of your God? Let's say his name. The nigmar dino. He gave him judgment. What was the judgment? O labo le gehinam. O lachzor ve labo begilgul. U mahar ve gehinam ve begilgul. And he decided to take Gehinam. Okay, you learned something by the way. You didn't have a choice to take Gehinam. You lose reincarnation to come back. Sadiq, Shuhan Aruch, Torah, Biru Bodhishma. He wasn't careful with the Berachot. So this is a big, big subject. These are subjects that we know, that we're accustomed to.
Where do we go? Right.
They judge Sadiqi much more strict than they'll judge us. But it goes to show you what's important. Berachot is important. So you gotta learn the law, you gotta read these stories about Berachot, you gotta read the halachot of Berachot. So you know that you're doing it the right way. Once you know what the meaning is and why and how, then already it's not like they say in the Pasuk. Bisfatai ki bidu. They honored me with their lips. But their heart was not with them. But the hiratam mitzvat anashim milubada. Their religion was routine. Their religion was robots, just following it in their sleep. So tonight we learned an important concept. This is Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz's Yesod. These are one of the foundations he says you gotta know in life. Your enemy is getting used to things. Not only in religion, but in life. We didn't give you the way to work it out in life with your wives. Now you'll speak to marriage counselors. But at least we gave it to you in religion. The way to keep religion burning is Musar, the Duraflame, that's this section here, and you gotta learn. And don't take for granted even the things you know. I know Kiryat Shema, you don't know Kiryat Shema. Learn Kiryat Shema. I know, I mean, you don't know it. We don't know anything until you learn it. We know it on second grade level when they taught you how to do it. That's as much as we know, no more. So the only way to get into the religion is you gotta know your religion, you have to read your religion, you have to study. You can't always be in the